A new cybersecurity unit at the Justice Department will offer itself as a legal advisor for cybercrime investigations worldwide. It will be operating under the department's Computer Crime and Intellectual Property section, and its doors are already open. To see why the unit was needed and what it's going to do, we turn to Michael Stawaz. He's Deputy Chief for Computer Crime in the Justice Department's Criminal Division. Mr. Stawaz, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome. Happy to be here.
All right, so tell us what this section will actually do when you say worldwide legal advisor. Does that mean helping other countries?
Well, actually, my section, the Computer Crime and Intellectual Property section, has been reaching out around the world for almost 20 years now on cybercrime issues. And, of course, that includes cybercrime prevention and the ability to collect electronic evidence. So this is something that we've been doing for quite a while. I think it's almost it's universal now that people understand the Internet crosses borders so easily that this has to be a worldwide fight. But the new thing that the cybersecurity unit brings is that instead of the reactive way that the Justice Department has many times had to deal with cybercrime, where we're dealing with crimes after they've occurred, and then, of course, we're prosecuting individuals in order to try to incapacitate the threat and deter future threats, and that contributes to cybercrime. But the cybersecurity unit is going to focus more on preventative measures. There are a complex series of laws that are implicated in trying to do network defense or incident response. And as the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security and even the Department of Defense have expanded their roles in cybersecurity, the need for legal skills dealing with computers and electronic surveillance statutes and how the Constitution applies to searching computers has grown tremendously.
And I guess it's lucky that this whole thing comes up. I mean, I realize you were in the works before this happened, but the whole Sony incident, it might be one of the worst intellectual property and computer thefts we've seen in quite a while, or maybe the worst ever in some ways. If you go back or rewind before this event occurred, how might this new approach of ahead of time might have worked in a case like this?
Well, it really, generally, we are going to make part of our mission public outreach and trying to help discuss with companies how cybersecurity can be beneficial. Some of the operational concerns about ways to implement particular types of strategies for cybersecurity is going to be more technical than a group of lawyers really ought to be advising on. But the things that we bring are making sure that cybersecurity is implemented consistent with law and with due respect for the privacy of people in implementing monitoring and being able to assist law enforcement quickly in the event of a breach. I do think in this case you saw a lot of quick cooperation between many different parts of the government and the company, and I think that that aspect of it has been something that the government has been preparing for a long time.
And how much of this will focus on the growing perception of the insider threat? Because, you know, I don't know anything about the Sony case other than what I read. But for the same hack to be able to get email and also the core intellectual property, which is motion picture files, seems a little bit far-fetched that they would be on the same server or something, which makes me suspect that maybe they had an inside help there. Regardless, I'm not asking you to judge that, but is the insider threat a big part of this whole process?
Sure. So separate and apart from the facts of any individual case, I think if you look at the data breach reports that are put out by a number of organizations, including the one that's done with the assistance of the United States Secret Service that Verizon puts out, you'll see that the insider threat is still a substantial one. It's one that we've been trying to work on in my section to talk to Congress about the need for reform to the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, which is the main criminal statute that punishes computer hacking in layman's terms, but is also one that deals with exceeding your authorized access even for those people that are allowed to be on a network, there are certain things they're not allowed to do on that computer system. And that's something that is a bit of legal uncertainty in a way that my section is trying to help by working with Congress and others to try to clear up that legal uncertainty and get a rule that will allow us to better protect ourselves, a rule that really, I think, ultimately benefits privacy, because our privacy is important and it's under attack from criminals, and we need the laws to be able to protect ourselves from that.
We're speaking with Michael Stawaz. He's deputy chief for computer crime at the Justice Department. And is another impetus behind this the fact that boards of directors and maybe the SEC and other entities are increasingly curious about how well corporate boards and corporate officers manage cybersecurity?
Absolutely. And part of the cybersecurity unit will be reaching out to the other parts of the federal government that deal with cybersecurity, and that includes roles for regulatory agencies like the Federal Trade Commission, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Federal Communications Commission. These are important parts of the whole of government effort in order to try to improve our nation's cybersecurity.
And isn't there a danger here, or how do you avoid the danger of honest mistakes being made that cause breaches versus criminal behavior by corporate operators?
Well, it is an interesting problem. We, as federal prosecutors, are usually dealing with cases that don't fall quite as close to the line. The Computer Fraud and Abuse Act also has civil penalties, and that is something that I know that corporations worry about as well. But as federal prosecutors, we're exercising a degree of discretion in order to go after the true threats.
All right. So tell us about this unit itself. How many lawyers will be in there, and what will their first job be to kind of get this, as you say, get the word out that you're available to advise here?
Yeah, well, I've got about 20 lawyers on my team, which deals with really three areas, and that is computer crime and prosecuting computer crime, as well as advising others on those statutes, the collection of electronic evidence, and then the cybersecurity mission that we have added. So we've got 20 lawyers, and they will all contribute to the effort. I've got a couple who are going to spend the majority of their time in doing that, and I'm lucky to have some lawyers that have a wide variety of experience, not only in federal criminal prosecution, but also prior experience at the Department of Defense, in the Justice Department's National Security Division, and other parts of government that go a long way toward help building those relationships that we'll need in order to be effective.
And there is an international aspect to this, because certainly the FBI, other parts of the Justice Department, and other federal agencies cooperate with other countries, even to the extent of cooperating with Russia, where we're kind of mad at them in one front, but we cooperate in security areas. So is there an international piece to what you're doing?
Absolutely. We do extensive international training. We are partnered up with the State Department, and actually the person who's leading cyber matters for the State Department is a former member of my section, so it's a very close relationship. We work extensively with the State Department and others in order to train people. We think it's important that foreign countries have laws that outlaw the types of computer attacks and intrusions that can harm Americans, and that they have capable investigators in order to prosecute violations of those laws when they occur, as well as the ability to collect evidence for United States prosecutions. Those are all important parts of protecting against cybercrime.
And without, again, commenting on a specific case, though, but do you think that the Sony incident will kind of help your efforts in sensitizing people and saying, we ought to listen to these guys?
Yeah, and I would never wish that on any company or person to have such a devastating attack, but I do think that people will take seriously the threat, and it's something that we've been working on for 20 years, and we certainly could use more help in trying to detect, deter, and disrupt these threats.
All right, Michael Stawaz is the Deputy Chief for Computer Crime in the Justice Department's Criminal Division. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.